everybody. This is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Should be a very fun weekend in the NFL. Certainly interesting, and hopefully for this guy, our next guest's sake, and myself, hopefully it's a fun weekend for the Colorado State Rams. I know Ryan Edwards, my guy with KOA. We're going to talk all things Broncos, but I know you're a big Rams guy too. Hopefully, Colorado State can get this thing back on the right track as far as men's basketball.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, I've been sort of monitoring from afar. Of course, most of the work I do tends to be around the NFL and the Broncos. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm always keeping track of my Rams, and I love what Coach Medved's doing up there.
Well, and I like it. You know, a lot of Denver guys are Buffs guys, but Ryan, you're one of those lone guys. You're kind of fighting by yourself, you know, sticking up for those Rams. So I always appreciate your insight on it, because I know you're primarily in the NFL with the Broncos, but I do appreciate you delving into the Rams once in a while when you can.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to represent. There used to be more of us locally down here that rep the Rams, but no, I work on a show with two Buffs, and we're the home of the Buffs, and so, yeah, a little bit outnumbered, but yeah, somebody's got to rep.
Yeah, well, appreciate you as always, my friend. Well, this Broncos head coaching search certainly is interesting, man. We keep adding names to the list. We obviously heard about David Shaw, Jim Caldwell. There's a lot of guys in the mix for this. Ryan, is it basically still, though, in your mind, is it Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, Dan Quinn, then everybody else? Or what are your thoughts as far as who's leading in the clubhouse?
Well, I mean, some of this is contingent on what's happening in their scenarios, in their situations, right, and the leverage that's being used. So take Jim Harbaugh, for example. If Michigan comes correct and they pay him the contract that he's looking for, I see the scenario he more likely stays in Michigan. Mm. But if they don't, well, then he's definitely an option for the Broncos. Sean Payton is waiting to see what happens with these L.A. jobs as well as the Dallas Cowboys. If the Chargers and the Cowboys lose in the first round, well, we could see changes there. And maybe Sean Payton is the next guy up. So I think he's waiting a little bit, and he's using his whatever leverage he has right now, not to mention the fact that the Broncos have to give up great draft capital for him, that he's using his leverage to say, well, yeah, I'll listen to what you guys have to say, but he's keeping one eye fixed on what's going on with those teams because those are the primary teams he's most interested in. And then, yeah, I mean, with Dan Quinn also, again, if you're thinking about the Cowboys gig, he's also in line potentially to be the head coach there if Mike McCarthy gets fired. So there's a lot of things sort of at play here. But, yeah, I think for the Broncos, they really do want to swing big. They want this to be a splashy move. You know, the Penners, Waltons, they came into this thing. They have all the money that they possibly want at their disposal. Richest owners in NFL, and I mean, I guess probably sports, but just specifically NFL history. So then in their mind, they want this thing to be headline-grabbing. And if you're going to be that, then you're probably starting with those names.
Ryan Edwards joining us from KOA. Ryan, what are the chances that you don't get either of those three guys, Harbaugh, Payton, and Dan Quinn?
It's a possibility, right? I mean, it sounds wild to think like, you know, you're swinging for those names. One of them's bound to be available. But like I said, I just laid out a scenario, a realistic scenario that all three are not available. And so then you have to look at Jim Caldwell. You got to look at David Shaw. You've got to look at some of the other options. Heck, you might even consider at that point promoting Ajero Evero and saying, well, hey, look, we really are impressed with him. We think he's ready to be a head coach right now. We're going to go ahead and build a great staff around him, and we're going to go that way. Again, that seems pretty far down the list if you just consider the fact that this is a group that really wants to get this coaching hire right, because they view, with Russell Wilson, they are in a bit of a window here. So this isn't one of those like, hey, let's invest in Avero or invest in D'Amico Ryans, which I think are both could be fantastic head coaches in the league. Let's invest in these young guys and sort of build this thing from the ground up. They think their roster is ready now. We'll, of course, see, right? You got to see. It's got to actually play out that way, but that's how they view it.
Ryan Edwards again joining us. With the Sean Payton thing, Ryan, what realistically, I've been looking around just to see like what the trade would actually look like. How many picks, whatever. In your mind and from what you're hearing, What would it take if Sean Payton says, you know what, I like the Broncos situation. I want to go there. Saints, you good with that? And the Saints call the Broncos and say, here's what we want. What do you think they're asking for?
Well, they're going to probably ask for this year's first. I'd say probably the Broncos third. And they probably are asking for a day two pick next year. It's going to be a pretty big haul. And, I mean, maybe you can talk them into a first this year and maybe your fourth this year and then a day two, like a second rounder next year. Maybe you can get away with that. But, yeah, they're going to want first plus. And I would say it's probably in the neighborhood of 2 to 3 picks. Maybe you can part with a player or cash. But the cash isn't the problem for them necessarily. They want to try to recoup some of the picks. They got to get younger in some spots. They've been up against it on the salary cap for a while. So for them, it's about getting some draft compensation and sort of building out this roster a little bit. They still have some players that are talented, but they're getting ready to have their knees cut out from underneath them because they still don't have a quarterback sort of set there. So you know, for the Saints, that's what they're going to be looking for, and then it's kind of up to the Broncos at that point if they want to pay the freight.
And that's why, I suppose, again, after seeing what we saw with Russell Wilson, even if it was worked out this year, it's still a haul. And so the idea of moving on from these draft picks, to me, Ryan, that's why Sean Payton, I'm just not getting my hopes up for that kind of guy, because I just think the drafts, especially with what you did with Russ, pair that with this idea, man, I mean, the whole idea with George Payton was that he was going to make his money in the draft, that he was really good at evaluating talent. Well, every year we just keep removing draft picks. So at some point, you got to hold on to some of them.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Based on the fact that they made the Russell Wilson trade, if they hadn't done that, if they were working with a developmental quarterback that they believed in, there'd be some argument for it, right? Especially because George Payton has done a good job the last couple of years making some trades and acquiring back talent. You know, the Von Miller trade getting a couple of day two picks, the Bradley Chubb trade getting a first rounder. So he's done a good job of sort of restocking the shelves. But again, you're talking about it perfectly there. It's like you're such a narrow margin here, and you do have some needs, right? Offensive line has to be addressed. If Draymond Jones, you can't bring him back, you're going to have to address defensive line. There's other positions. You probably want to add another cornerback into that room because you always need more cornerbacks. And you might need another wide receiver potentially if you're thinking you need a difference maker there. So, I mean, some things you can solve in free agency. Some things you need to address in the draft. And for the Broncos, it does seem like a bit of a tall task at this moment to go ahead and say, yeah, let's go ahead and part with all these things to get a coach. And the reality is, I feel like a lot of these other coaches could fit the bill just as well, right? I mean, yeah. I think Sean Payton is very, very good at what he does. But to say that he is so elite at being a head coach versus some of the other candidates you're interviewing, I just think that you could get those candidates, you could pay them a bunch of money, and you wouldn't have to give up the draft picks. That's probably the direction I would prefer.
Yeah, I'm with you there, because when you look at Harbaugh, like if they were both just not tied to a team, you didn't have to trade. I mean, it's almost a coin flip. Harbaugh, in a short time with teams, has turned stuff around, and he's done it multiple times. That's kind of why it's more appealing to me. Sometimes, Ryan, you see a coach with the same organization over and over again, and they're just so comfortable there. Bill Belichick can do whatever he wants with the Patriots. But you look at a guy with Harbaugh, the fact that he went to other places and did it in a short time, that's what's really appealing to me about the idea of getting him over here as the Broncos head coach.
Yeah, I like Harbaugh a lot. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is that he does tend to wear out his welcome a little bit. And inevitably, he does kind of rub some people the wrong way. He's sort of described as aloof. There's a bit of chaos that kind of surrounds him, but he wins, right? So it's like one of those things like, hey, man, if Nathaniel Hackett would have won, we'd be having a completely different conversation about him. It's like, well, you know, he's a little bit on the warm and fuzzy side, but guess what? Hey, he wins. The guys respect him. Everything's good. Well, this guy's the opposite, right? He's kind of he's kind of a difficult guy to deal with. I had a different word I was going to use, but we'll just say that. He's kind of a difficult guy to work with. So you have to kind of factor that in a little bit, and that might be a bit more of a short burn. Right, we're talking about a 3 to 4 year proposition with Jim Harbaugh before he wears out his welcome. Versus, again, the investment in Sean Payton, he could be here for the next decade, and that's something you do have to weigh out.
What do you think of if it were Harbaugh and it was, as you say, a short burn? If it was 3 or 4 years, what if Evero stays on the staff and he just kind of commits to 3 years with this team? And if that's what Harbaugh would want, maybe you start grooming that guy and you kind of go into it with that idea. Is that way outside? Is that too far fetched?
No, I don't think it's far-fetched at all. But again, those things are they're placeholder concepts, right? Because all of a sudden, if Avero gets offered a job for another team, like, you know, like the Colts and Texans are interviewing him, let's say next year it's a couple other teams that are very interested because he has another good year. Well, you're asking him to stick around and deny those opportunities for the possibility that he's going to be the guy. And what if the defense falls off the next year and the organization sours on him, and now all of a sudden he's trying to look for work as a linebackers coach or a secondary coach again? You know, like, it's just the windows for these coaches, and this is the same thing I've been saying about Harbaugh for a little while. It's like, hey, man, you know, strike while the iron's hot. You know, you are one of the hot names right now. Go ahead and take advantage of that opportunity, because everything changes next year. A new coach comes out. All of a sudden we're talking about Ben Johnson or Shane Steichen, and those are the names that everybody wants and everybody's interested in, and you're no longer pushed to the front of the line. If you are in that conversation, take advantage of those moments. And so for him, if he shows back up in that list next year and it's like, oh, but we were going to try to groom you for the next guy, no, Arrow's got to be gone. He's got to go find his opportunity. He's going to have to – he can't hold on to the possibility that the Broncos are going to stick by him, because in this business, nobody does.
Ryan Edwards joining us from KOA. And Ryan, personally for you, you would be interviewing Harbaugh every single week, because I know you guys, the voice of the Broncos, so you interviewed Hackett all the time, who was just a great guy, easy to talk to. How you feeling about every single week knowing you'd be interviewing Harbaugh if he's the guy? Because he can take interviews anywhere, man. He can even make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, he can. And I hadn't even considered that, but now I am considering that. Yeah, do I have a selfish reason to go with it? Because Dan Quinn's a great interview, right? Yeah. I mean, I know that, and Sean Payton's a little wily too, but you know, you get some good answers out of him because he's done some broadcasting. That's a good point about Jim Harbaugh. I hadn't considered it. Yeah, well, I think with Jim, yeah, I mean, for him, like some of these coaches, you know, they love talking ball. They don't want to get into. They don't want to get into the periphery of that, and if you ask, you'll know pretty quick. If you ask a question that they don't really want to talk about, Bill Belichick is famous for that, right? If you go to Bill Belichick and you ask him a question he doesn't want to talk about, he gives you a one or two word answer. But then if you ask him about the history of the game, or you ask him some concept or whatever, boy, he'll talk for 5-6 minutes on that. And so I think with Harbaugh, it's just sort of finding the path on what interests him, what intrigues him about whether it's a matchup or whether it's something going on with the team. But no, you're 100% right. He is material, and that's probably the kindest way to put it.
I just remember years ago, the Cowherd interview, Ryan, where it was so uncomfortable. I mean, just listening to it, I'm uncomfortable. Harbaugh's barely giving him anything. It was weird, but I was thinking about you the other day. I was like, that's got to be something. I wonder if that crosses your mind, because I think about that. I'm probably silly like that, but if I think of, oh, CSU's going to hire this coach, wonder how he's going to be on the air. Harbaugh would certainly be a unique one for you guys to talk to on a weekly basis.
No doubt. And again, a lot of these, it's such different personalities. I mean, very clearly the Broncos are looking for experience. And even when you go to Jim Caldwell, right, I mean, who I think probably should be talked about more. I mean, he wins a lot. He has a lot of success in the NFL. But it's just, we remember the way it ended, right? The 2-14 season with the Colts, Detroit Lions, and how it just kind of fell apart. But that's not all on him. And they still won like 7 games that year, I think. But the point being is, you know, with these guys, with the personalities, you just sort of have to figure out what sort of, you know, gets them going. And, you know, with Nathaniel Hackett, he was just an easy guy to talk to, you know, very disarming. Yeah. Just, you know, he wanted to talk about whatever, you know, and I mean, he got to a point where things were getting really bad, and you felt for him, because people would hit us up all the time. And you're like, oh, you got to press him. And it's like, well, you could press him, but then there's a certain amount of, like, you know, just looking at the human aspect of it and saying, okay, well, What is that going to do? He already knows that the team is struggling. He already knows that he's not doing a good job. And you know, you can throw that in his face, or you can just try to find creative ways. So I'd ask him, like, hey, man, before he had turned over play calling, hey, are you just like you guys brought in Jerry Rosberg, are you considering other options to look at play calling or bringing somebody in to help you with that, like Jerry Rosberg did for game management? You know, you just try to find creative ways to ask those questions, just at least give the guys a chance to give a thoughtful response rather than the antagonistic, hey, you suck at your job, and I'm going to remind you of that every time you call in on Monday. So let's get used to that.
Well, and Ryan, that's a great point, because I was actually talking to some guys, the Coloradoan fellows yesterday, and they were bringing up, like, talking about Jay Norvell and the coaches. They said, if you burn this guy once, you're done. You're never going to have a good relationship. And that's what I think is unique, too, with what you do. You know, you want to grill them. You want to ask those real questions, but you also don't want them to be like, dude, Ryan was kind of a jerk. I don't want to do that show ever again. So you don't want to lose that. So it is an interesting balance.
Well, right. And so, again, I know we're kind of going down the rabbit hole here, but it's kind of like, you know, just human interaction, right? I mean, that then becomes every time he's set to call in, he's going to immediately get up his defenses. And so Sure. Then you're battling that on top of the loss that they're already dealing with and the frustrations, and then they're just going to clam up. And so, you know, what I'd rather do is build that rapport, build that relationship, find avenues to ask some of those tougher questions, and then, you know, find ways to you know, still create that human interaction, because I think you're going to get more out of it in the long term. But you're right. I mean, it's a delicate balance to walk, because then, you know, we get called state-sponsored radio because we're not, like, telling the dude that he's, like, the worst thing that ever happened to the Broncos. And I mean, it's a tough balance to walk.
Yeah, no question. But I think you guys still do a wonderful job of that. No matter when it's like an uncomfortable interview. But I will, Ryan. I will be very interested. You let me know if it's Harbaugh when that first interview happens, because dude, I'm really curious to see how that one goes down. So that would be fun.
I think it'd be fun. Yeah. I think it'd be fun. Yeah. I think he'll be energized. I mean, early on, it's, you know, usually there's a honeymoon phase, right? I mean, early on, everything is great. Even with Nathaniel Hackett, everything was fun. We were talking Star Wars. We were goofing around. And then, you know, then the game started happening, and it was a lot less fun. And then it became like, well, I can't joke with you anymore. We can't have any fun. And that's tough with a guy like that, because you're just like, man, like, that's part of who you are. Mm. It's like, let's have some fun. But you can't do any of that because, again, that the optics of that also aren't great.
Well, and it would have been golden, wouldn't it? If they would have been good, Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so nice and he's so easy to talk to. You guys could go so many different directions with those interviews. But unfortunately, it was just a rough go. Ryan, my man, appreciate you so much. Love what you do. And looking forward to a fun weekend. There's a lot to a lot of these games where it's not just a loss. It's maybe they're going in different directions, too. So should be highly entertaining.
Oh, no doubt. And they're all teams that have played each other.
Yeah.
Like all these matchups happened earlier in the year, which I think is so fascinating, sort of the dynamics. I mean, even go back to the first week with Dallas and Tampa Bay, right? I mean, that's a long time ago, but you sort of wonder, they really own that matchup. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
All right, my man. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend, my friend.
You too. Thanks.
All right, Ryan Edwards, KOA. Because I do some stuff down there sometimes. So, Angel, I've had a couple of opportunities to interview Hackett. So if I ever fill in on a Harbaugh day, I'm a little nervous for that one. Be a little intimidating for that one. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.